All right, we're going to be in Philippians chapter 3. If you want to get your Bibles open to God's Word, Philippians chapter 3. It's hard to believe that another year has gone. I was just reflecting with someone. It just seems like 2 weeks ago we had Thanksgiving. And now here we are in 2023. And through today, just a side note, I checked on Google. The next time Christmas and New Year's falls on a Sunday is 2033. Just in case you were wondering, I was just curious. So that's what I did this week, just to try to plan ahead. And I don't know if you had a good 2022. I don't know if you've had a bad 2022. Some of you can't wait for the new year to start. Some of you wish the new year wouldn't start because 2022 was so good. So before we leave 2022, I want to do a little recap of things that happened in the year 2022. Now, I need to let you know that I forget what I had for breakfast last year. Some of you will get that later. It's okay. I understand. Proceed. So I can't remember what I had on Saturday for breakfast, let alone what happened in the whole year of 2022. So I did a little recap for us. Do you remember that the 8 billionth person was born that lived on the earth sometime in the summer? 8 billion people live on planet Earth. That's a lot of people. Also, don't forget that this 2022 was the year that the Queen passed away. And now we have King Charles. And some of you love the royal monarchy and are really tied into and follow them. But don't forget, the Queen has passed away. Don't forget, this year passing was Roe versus Wade, was overturned. You remember that big decision by the Supreme Court? And some are still very excited. We're all excited because life begins at conception. And some are still trying to protest and fight that. You remember that decision? And the feedback that came in June. Also, don't forget that Russia invaded Ukraine. And we're still living with that almost 9 months later. And then finally, we all talk about inflation that soars. And inflation has just gone out of control. And we've been talking to the girls about money and finances. And you know that you're maturing in your years. When you look at your kids, you say, I remember when gas was $1.25. And they go, ah. Oh. And then it's really humbling when they say to you, Dad, how did your parents deal with you and your cell phone when you were in high school? We're not matching on this one, honey. Not going to work. Oh, you're that old? It's time for you to go to your room. We need to part way for a while. It's been a year of fun. Some of these are great news. Some of these are struggles. And as you reflect on 2022, I think you would have the same thing. Some of you would say it's been a great year. Some of you would say it's been a really tough year. But I think we can learn from 2022 as we lean into 2023 about making sure we keep the main thing the main thing. We're in Philippians chapter 3, so I want to take you on a little bit of a trip to the town and city of Philippi. Philippi was an important city in Macedonia. It had a big roadway going through there, the kind of like our I-95, and it allowed them to have great and significant financial influence, political and social influence that allowed a lot of people to move through the city, a lot of people coming in and out. Also in the town of Philippi were other towns, and to help you know the geography, what I'd like to do is take a few moments and just point out some things. On the bottom right is Jerusalem, which is where Jesus was crucified and resurrected. If you look up here about halfway, you have Antioch, which was the church that sent out the first missionary journey. And they sent out Paul, and Paul went over to Cyprus, and he came all through this area. A lot of these churches that you see, Paul planted, and were in Philippi. And Philippi, again, has this road that goes up north and comes back down, and it's a major thoroughfare to help people move through this town and through the country. This map ultimately was created by God, but God used Paul and his service to start churches to spread the gospel. As you find Philippians chapter 3, Paul's going to use an imagery of a race. And it's not a race like a runner, it's a race like a person riding a chariot. Now, this is a very unique chariot that I had to search high and low for, because most chariots are found with the compartments around the side. Most commentators say that for Paul, when he was living, there were no side gates right here. The only thing that was in front of him was that board. And you really had to focus and pay attention to where you were at and where you were trying to go, because you had nothing to hold on to. You had to use your own balance, and you had to lean into the curves and the turns. And that would force Paul to keep his eyes in front of him. You also notice in this picture, there are other horses. People would be coming alongside of him. There would be in a race. You can't look to the left. You can't look to the right, because your weight, it would shift. And that could cause you to lose your balance, because remember, there's nothing here on the side of this chariot. And you would fall out, you would lose the race, or even worse, you could lose your life. And so Paul has this imagery again of a race, of a person in a chariot, saying, make sure you keep your eye in front of you. Do not lose focus. Do not lose perspective of what is in front of you. By now, you should be in Philippians chapter 3. So we're going to start in verse 12. And we're going to start with Paul saying this: not that I have already obtained it. Well, the question I have is, what is it? And as you make your New Year's resolutions, maybe your New Year's resolution is to spend more time reading God's word. Well, with that, I would encourage you to read God's word with perfect vision, with 20/20 vision, the 20 verses before and the 20 verses after. So let's go back with relative quickness just to verse 10, because verse 10 is going to help us answer the question, what is it? What is Paul trying to obtain? Look at verse 10. That I may know Jesus, that I may know him. Now, I look around and I know some of you, and you know me, but do you really know me? And do I really know you? You see, sometimes we talk about we know Jesus. We still have the scenes up here from Christmas. We know Jesus came and he was born in a town in Bethlehem, and Mary and Joseph had to go. We know about Jesus. But do you really know him? Do you know him in a personal way? Do you spend time with God in his word? Do you spend time knowing what Jesus taught, what he preached, and how he lived? Or do you just know Jesus because, oh, that's what we do. We come to church and, well, I had to spend the night at someone's house, and they told me if I spent the night, they gave me breakfast, I'd have to come to church. What we're here to do is help each of you, including myself, grow in our relationship with Jesus Christ. And Paul says in verse 10, that I may know Jesus, not just know in a mindset, but know him in a relational way. And the best way to know Jesus is to spend time reading about him in his word. Paul says, I want to know Jesus and the power of his resurrection. So thankful for power. We just had no power for a few minutes. What do we do? What do I do? Can I holler at you for 45 minutes in a sermon? What do we do? A couple of weeks ago, we had the Grinch storm, and some of you lost power for a few hours. Some of you lost power for a day. Some of you lost power for multiple days. I've heard as high as 4. And that was through Christmas. And you were so excited when the power came back on. Some of you have a Generac, and as soon as the power went off, boom, the Generac kicked on, and you didn't even miss a beat. Some of you, you have a generator that you have to wheel out and stick the cord in. And the power goes out, and I'm just going to tell you for a friend, your wife looks at you and says, honey, it's go time. And I said, let me know how that works out for you, dear. Don't want to say that. But you walk in, you plug the generator in, and the power comes back on, and you walk in, and you're a superhero. And then some of you, you don't have a generac, you don't have a generator, but you have a wood stove and a candle. And you're so excited when the power came back on that Versant brought the power back. And all of us, we struggle because the power goes out, and every time we walk into the room, what do? We turn on the light switch. Don't leave me up here by myself. I know I'm not the only one. You turn the light switch on, you go, oh, I'm missing the power. Paul says, I want to know Jesus. I just don't want to know him in my mind. I want to have that relationship with him. And I want to plug into the power of Jesus. Maybe that's what's missing for you in 2023. What a great way to start off your year. Plugged into the power of the resurrection. That you can have life and you can have it abundantly because of what has been done for you. Because Jesus came to live so that he could die. And Paul says, I want to plug into that power. Let's stretch this a little bit. Maybe you need a little bit more power in your life. Maybe you need a little bit bigger generator. Well, you're holding that generator in your lap. It's called God's word. And Paul says, I haven't obtained it. I still have more power to draw from Christ, that I may know him relationally, that I may know the power of his resurrection. We love that part. But we don't necessarily like what comes next. And that I may share in the fellowship of his sufferings. Now friends, I love my power. I live by my power. But you know, something happens at the end of each month. Versant is very good at sending me a bill. And I look at that bill and I go, oh, the bill. But we always want to remember that we want to plug into the power of Christ. But we want to make sure that we may suffer for Jesus. He told his disciples, he told us, if they hate me, they're going to hate you. If they persecuted me, they're going to persecute you as well. And so we may need to take part in the sufferings like Christ suffered. What's the rest of the verse say? Being conformed to his death, in order that I may obtain the resurrection from the dead, that I may grow and live in a relationship with Christ and then spend eternity with him. Paul says all that and says, I haven't obtained that yet. There's still areas for me to grow in. And he says, or that I've already become perfect. Aren't you glad that you came here today and you realize that everybody's broken? Paul's writing to this church in Philippi and he's saying, hey, listen, I haven't arrived. This is the Apostle Paul. This is the guy that wrote half of the New Testament books. This is the guy that met Christ on the road. And Paul says, hey, I have room to grow. And you know what, church? I'm not perfect. What a great lesson in leadership that Paul has given us by saying, you know what? I don't have it all together. I have not become perfect. There's still areas for me to grow in. But I press on. Notice what Paul says. Hey, I haven't arrived yet, but he doesn't become discouraged and give up. He says, I'm going to keep my eye on the prize. I'm going to keep going. I'm going to press on. I've never raced in a chariot. I may do that in 2023. You never know. If anybody has a spare chariot, let me know. Okay? But what I do know is that in a race, sometimes you become tired. Sometimes you struggle. Sometimes the weight and the training, it tires you out. But you need to press on. Paul has that image of the chariot, and he goes, you need to press on. As you're riding around and you're shifting your weight, making sure that you stay behind the horses, making sure you tie them up, you're always shifting. Press on. Don't give up. It's so easy to give up. Let go of the reins and just let go and see what happens. But Paul says, I press on so that I may lay hold of that which also is laid hold of by Christ. I am not satisfied. If you think of that map that I showed you, Paul did a lot of work for Christ. He could have sat back and said, you know what? I've done my work. I'm going to hit cruise control. Maybe that's where you're at. 2022 was an awesome year. You made it financially, mentally, physically, emotionally, relationally, financially. You hit every mark and you're ready to go. You're ready to hit cruise control. I would encourage you to continue to push on. Don't become complacent. Press on for the goal. One commentator put it this way. He said, those who think they have reached spiritual perfection will not see the need to pursue a better condition. Why? Why should they chase something that they believe they already have? What's the point of continuing to try to push to arrive at your destination if you believe you've reached your destination? Paul's saying, I'm not content. I want to continue to grow. I want to continue to grow. Paul's saying, I'm not happy because I have a goal to reach. Another commentator put it this way. He said, the truly mature and godly have the most sensitive awareness of their sins, and they are the humblest before God because of their sin. Paul realizes, I haven't arrived yet. Paul realizes, I haven't hit the goal. I haven't made it to the end. And he takes that humble approach with the church, and he's writing this. And he's saying, hey, I push on. I haven't arrived. I'm not perfect, but I press on towards the goal. Let's keep going in verse 13. Remember I told you Paul was writing to the church in Corinth, the church in Philippi. He calls them brethren. He says, hey, brethren. That's like he's calling them family. Don't forget your audience. The church at Philippi received this letter, and Paul calls them brethren. He calls them beloved. He calls them friends. He calls them family. He says, friends, don't forget this. This one thing I do. I do not regard myself of laying hold. I haven't arrived. I haven't arrived in achieving what I want to achieve. And this was the guy that wrote half the New Testament and planted all those churches on the map. He said, I haven't reached my goal. He's not going to hit cruise control. And that was a challenge for me. He says, laying hold of it yet, but this one thing I do. He says, I have this one goal that I want to have. He makes a New Year's resolution right here. I have a New Year's resolution that I want to make. What I want to do is I want to forget what lies behind and I want to reach forward to what lies ahead. Now, some of you make goals. Some of you make New Year's resolutions. And most of you probably fall in one of three categories, or you make three resolutions in each of these categories. The first one is most people say, I want to do better in my Bible reading. I want to do more time in devotion. I want to spend more time in prayer. I want to spend more time in small groups. I want to grow in my relationship with Jesus Christ. Most people that go to church say that. Most people also say, I want to make a goal financially. I want to save more money. I want to make more money. I want to spend less and save more. And sometimes we make a goal physically. I want to lose weight. I want to get in better shape. Well, probably about 10 years ago, Holly got me a membership to Planet Fitness. That was very nice of her to get me a membership to Planet Fitness. And so I went day in and day out to try to get into shape. And I would go early in the morning. Well, one time, friends, I had a problem. I wanted to watch a football game. And we didn't have the game at home because we didn't have cable. I have a problem. I want to watch the game, but I don't have the game. So I thought, you know what? I'll go to Planet Fitness and I'll work out and I'll watch the game. You know how long an NFL game is? It's 4 hours if they don't go into overtime. So I'm sitting there going, this is not going to work. Because Planet Fitness just won't let you sit and watch the game. Because they have to have you plug into the machine to hear what the commentators are saying. Well, that struggle is real. I want to hear what's going on. So I did the only thing I knew to do is I got on the treadmill and I plugged in. And then I got the treadmill going at 1 mile an hour and I straddled the belt for 4 hours watching it. People are coming in and they're looking at me going, I'm like, judgment-free zone. I'm watching a game. That's what I did. She hasn't got me a Planet Fitness membership since then. We have goals. We have resolutions. Paul says, I have a resolution. I want to forget what lies behind. I want to forget the things that have happened in the past. I want to look forward to what's ahead. I want to take you on a little bit of a tour of the Bible and give you some homework because I want to talk about Paul's struggles. I want to talk about Paul's successes. Because I look around and some of you have had a really good 2022. It has really been good for you. You've had a lot of success. Some of you, you look around and you've had a lot of struggle in 2022. If you write these references down, what you'll read about in Romans chapter 7, verses 15 through 24, Paul says, the very things I don't want to do, I do do. And the very things I do do, I don't want to do. Oh, wretched man that I am. Paul says, I want to do these things, but I can't. I want to do these things, and I don't do them. Oh, I wish I could do the opposite. And Paul is not handicapped or paralyzed by the struggles. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, Paul is reminded of his past, that he was a persecutor, that he was an aggressor against the gospel, that he went out and his one mission in life was to stop the movement of Jesus Christ until God got a hold of his life. And Paul could look at Romans 7 and 1 Timothy 1 and say, look at all the struggles, look at all the heartache, look at all the pain I have caused. I just quit. Maybe that's where you're at as you start a new year. I just want to quit. The struggle is, I just don't have enough to start a new year. Maybe some of you are saying, but I've had a lot of success. Well, Philippians chapter 3, verses 1 through 8, Paul talks about his human accomplishments. He talks about his education. He talks about his ability to keep the law. He talks about all the success he had. And he says, you know what? I don't want to rest on what I achieved. I don't want to be handicapped or paralyzed by my struggles, and I don't want to become boastful in all the things that went right for me. So what's he say? This one thing I do, I forget what lies behind. Whether it's good or it's bad, as he's riding in that chariot that he's calling his life, he doesn't want to look behind him because that's going to shift his weight. And if he looks back and regret, he's going to go off the road. If he looks back and struggle, he's going to go off the road. And there's a chance that he could have an accident. He says, this one thing I do, I want to forget what lies behind. I want to learn from the past, but I want to forget what lies behind because there's people coming. There's other racers that are there that are looking to beat him. Forgetting what lies behind, and I want to reach forward. The best way to reach your goal is to keep your eye on the prize. I want to continue to make sure I keep the main thing, and that is keeping his focus on Jesus Christ. He says in verse 14, I press on. As much fun as it was and is to go to Planet Fitness, sometimes it's hard to work out. Sometimes it's hard to keep that treadmill going because you feel the burn, literally. And as we're in this race that we're calling life, sometimes it's easier just to get on the sides of the treadmill and just let the belt go underneath you and not move. But Paul says, you know what? I want you to press on. I press on. In the good times, and in the difficult times, I continue to keep my eyes focused on Jesus Christ. I press on towards the goal So he's not just going anywhere. He is laser focused on where he wants to go and what he wants to accomplish. He wants to accomplish the goal. What's the goal? Verses 8 through 11, that he may know Christ and the power of his resurrection and fellowship and his sufferings. He says that's the goal. And in the good times and in the difficult times, I want to press on towards the upward call of Christ Jesus. I don't know how you do it in your family. I don't know how you do it around your table. Maybe you've already shared your New Year's resolutions. Maybe you don't make resolutions. Maybe your resolution's not to make a resolution. But I'd like to give you three from these couple of verses in Philippians chapter 3. Their first one is, God's still working on me in 23. I tried to make that rhyme. It didn't go very well. But A for effort. God's still working on me in 2023. As you look at each other and you look around the room, what I'd like for us all to realize is God's still working on each one of us. God's still taking and sanding some of those rough edges that are in our life. For some of us, God's got a chisel and a hammer that he's chiseling out those things that are not of Christ in our life. When I was a kid, I went to church and we had Sunday school, and they taught us songs. Songs such as the B-I-B-L-E, yes, that's the book for me. I stand alone in the word of God, the B-I-B-L-E. Would you like me to sing that for you? No? We learned another song. The other song was, he's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. Have you heard this one? It took him just a week to make the moon and the stars, the sun and the earth and Jupiter and Mars. How lovingly and patient he must be. He's still working on me. And sometimes I think God's in heaven going, Tom, we've talked about this 4,000 times. Let's try it again. But as you look at me, I want you to realize this. God's still working on me. God still has some edges that he needs to sand. God still has some edges he's chiseling so that I become more like Christ, so that I can live a life that is honoring and pleasing to him. And as I look at you, I want to be able to think in my mind, God's still working on them in 2023. God's still sanding edges in your life. God's still chiseling places in your life that are not like Christ. As we continue to work together, minister together, do life together as a family, we need to realize God's still working on us. And what I don't want you to do is walk around and say, boy, God's still working on you. Boy, he's got a lot of chiseling to do. Because that's not how I want to be talked to. But as we walk around as a family, realize that God's still working on each one of us. Second thing I want you to have a New Year's resolution, if you're looking for one, is don't stumble over the past. That can be positive or negative. Don't become so wrapped up in all the accomplishments and all the things that you achieved that you hit cruise control. Because God's still on the move. God is still looking to do things in you and through you. Don't just sit and hit cruise control. Also, I'd say in the same breath, if it's been a rough 2022, don't look back, learn from it, but look forward. Don't stumble over the good or the difficult. And then the third one is to stay focused on Jesus. Good news or bad news, we survived 2022. 2023 is here, ready or not, here it comes. We can't stop it. We can try to slow it down, but it's going to come, and pretty soon we're going to have Easter, and then we're going to talk about Christmas in like 3 months. It's going to come quick. And the same struggles we had in 22, we may possibly have in 23. And what I'm offering to you is permission for you to look at me and say, you know what? Keep your eyes focused on Jesus. There might be times that you look at me and say, you know what? I read the end of the book. Jesus wins. And there might be times I look at you and say, Hey, friend, you know what? I read the end of the book. Jesus wins. Keep your eyes focused on Jesus. Because we have all these plans, we have all these resolutions, and we really don't know what 2023 holds. We don't know what's coming around the corner. We don't know when we're going to have to shift our weight and we're not ready for it. We don't know what the future holds, but we know who holds the future, and that's Jesus Christ. And as we do life together, as we have this family, we look at each other and say, you know what? Hey, God's still working on me, and I know God's still working on you. Let's have God work on us together. Maybe we look at each other and say, hey, you know what? It's been a rough year. It's been a good year. Let me walk beside you as you walk into this new year. And then as we look at each other in the foyer, in the cafe, in the connection center that's coming, we look at each other and say, hey, keep your eyes on Jesus. Look full into his wonderful face. And let's keep our eyes focused. Because we know what happens at the end. Jesus wins. What a great year 2023 would be if we keep our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith. And if you've joined us this morning and you do not know Jesus, the greatest way to start off 2023 and have a successful year is to have a relationship with him. Don't just know him mentally, know him relationally. And if you have questions, we're going to have pastoral staff in the back and into the service. We'd love to have a conversation with you that you start off the new year the right way with a relationship with Jesus Christ. Lord, we're so thankful for your word. We're thankful for the joy it brings us, for the challenge that it brings us. Lord, most of all, we're thankful for how it can comfort us and convict us. And Lord, help us to walk out of here knowing that each of us are being worked on, that you're still working on me as you're still working on them. And all of us realize that we need to become more like Jesus. So Lord, help us to realize you've got work to do in each one of our lives. Lord, help us as we celebrate 2022, or as we, if you will, commiserate 2022, that we won't look back and stumble, but that we will look ahead and keep our eyes focused on Jesus. And Lord, we can make plans, we can make resolutions, but Lord, ultimately, we don't know what the future holds, but we know who holds the future. And Lord, we know that you are in control and that you have control of all things. Lord, continue to make us into the men and women, boys and girls that you have called us to be as we follow Jesus Christ. It's in his name that I pray. Amen.